Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title with the theater.
I'm Kevin O'Connell, and I am the Artistic and Executive Director of Parasphere Theater.
And of course, that's a Black Box Theater over in Silver Spring, Maryland. And we are talking because you have a really cool show, powerful show called Blue Door, that is running now through March 12th. Give us the basic premise, because I know it deals with a long span of history, but that sort of comes rushing to the surface in one, you know, insomnia night, right?
Right, exactly. So it's set in 1995, at least that's where it starts out. And the character, the main character, is a man named Lewis. He's a Black professor, and his wife, who happens to be white, has just left him. And the reason she gave for leaving was that he wouldn't march in the Million Man March. And then that leads him to question a lot of things about his identity. He's suffering from severe insomnia, as you said. And his ancestors start to visit him. So he's visited by his brother, who's also deceased, but also his ancestors, his great-grandfather and his grandfather. And he lives out the history of the family from 1851 down to the present time. So it starts with his great-grandfather, Simon, who was enslaved. And then there are scenes from his life, and there are scenes from the grandfather, Jesse's life, and then Lewis's father, and Lewis and Rex himself, the two brothers, Lewis and Rex, scenes from their lives when they were younger as well.
Yeah, awesome. Let's just it's a great concept and powerful history we're covering, from slavery to Jim Crow, all kinds of stuff. Let's drill down even deeper. Let's break it down by each ancestor that comes back to visit, and we'll take them one at a time if that's okay with you. You know, we don't have to give away the plot details.
Sure. Yeah.
So in my radio pieces and the article, I can say, you know, this is the ghost of Christmas past. This is the gross. You know what I mean?
Right,
let's break them down. Let's do the oldest first, because I think that's how it happens, right? It's kind of sort of chronological. So let's. It's his great grandfather. You said that was
his
that was a slave.
Grandfather Simon.
Yeah, was a slave. First, okay, tell me about
he
Simon.
Was a slave. Yep. We believe, just looking at the script, that this was in South Carolina, most likely. And we first see Simon in 1851, when he's a young boy. He lives with his mother. And obviously he lives on a plantation. And we first meet him. It doesn't go in a linear way. We actually first meet him when he meets his wife for the first time. But then in other segments, we see him as a young boy with his mother. And one of the themes of the play, the title of the play, Blue Door, comes from a Gullah Geechee tradition of painting a door blue to keep evil spirits out. Ah. So at one point, it appears that his mother, Ruby, is going to get sold at auction. And she tells Simon to paint the door blue. So that's one of a few times that a door gets painted blue.
Gotcha.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, gotcha. Thank you for explaining how that ties in. And I'm sure, you know, without spoiling anything, I'm sure it surfaces in other times throughout the play, maybe even all the way up to Lewis. I don't know if he's got a blue door either, but you got to come check it out to see.
Exactly.
So all right. So Simon is a slave, and he's the great grandfather, right? So then, who is the grandfather character that visits?
Jesse is Simon's son, and he is probably, without saying too much, he is the figure in the story who has had the worst things happen to him. I suppose when Jesse's born, slavery has ended and Simon is a sharecropper, and Jesse witnesses the plantation owner cheating his father, and then the clan coming to intimidate Simon into not voting, because they're concerned that the people that the blacks would vote for will, you know, work on improving sharecropper rights. And so Simon is intimidated into not voting, and that really shapes Jesse. And he swears that when he gets the opportunity to vote, he's going to do it. And then when we see Jesse later in life, after he's been unjustly imprisoned for 13 years working on a chain gang, and then he finally gets the opportunity to vote, and he does so, and I think we'll leave out the rest of it. It's a tragic situation, and I think everyone, you know, has heard of, is familiar to some extent or another with slavery, with Jim Crow, with lynching. But this play really puts you in the mind of one person and the people closest to that person. So it gives you a different insight into it.
Wow. All right. So Simon is the great grandfather who's the slave. Jesse is, I guess, Lewis's grandfather, who, I guess, if you want to say, represents the whole failure of Reconstruction era after slavery, exactly. You know, Jim Crow, lynching, that rise of the KKK, all that stuff. So then the next generation, who would, I guess, is Lewis's father, Jesse's son, who is that character?
That's Charles.
Charles.
Charles doesn't visit per se, but he's just discussed by Rex, Lewis's brother, and the two of them, Lewis and Rex, play out some scenes with Charles in them. But Charles witnesses the worst of what happens to his father. He witnesses it personally, and it really shapes his life from then on, and his attitude toward his children. You know, he tells Lewis at one time, when Lewis says he tried to get good grades, and he says, Black people don't try, Black people fail. You best do better than try. And he is physically abusive. He has an alcohol problem. And you can see all this coming from the horrible thing that he witnessed happening to his father.
Wow.
So what I think the main, like the seed of the whole play, is Lewis believes that the present is not dependent on the past, or that he thinks it's a crutch to say there's a causality between the past and the present.
Right.
And what this night does is show him it draws a direct line from slavery through all the other forms of American racism down to 1995. And it becomes difficult for him to deny that there is causality between the past and present.
Oh, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps. I mean, you're speaking my language. There's the whole theme. I love stories and art that explores sort of the whole, if you don't know your history, you're doing repeated, or the fact that history revisits us, and it's cyclical, and what's speak to sort of how it's kind of how audiences that show up, if there are audiences that come to the theater, and let's say maybe they share Lewis's initial mindset that, oh, you know, slavery was forever ago, can you get over it, et cetera, the past doesn't matter. If they show up ignorantly thinking that, talk about how this show maybe will transform them, just like Lewis is transformed, and realize that, wow, the past is all around us.
Yeah, I hope that people will identify with Lewis and you see with Lewis, like Rex keeps trying to get him to relive certain memories, particularly the Jesse story. And Lewis is constantly saying, no, why do we need to retell that? Why do we need to retell that story? And then they finally do retell the story. And I think that's very much like many people are, as I was saying, you know, everyone knows that slavery, lynching, and Jim Crow and other, you know, voter disenfranchisement and other forms of racism have taken place. But when you get it down to one person and really get at the human experience of one person experiencing this, it's much harder to put it aside and say, yeah, that's something from a history book. It becomes personal.
Right. And I think that's why it's such a cool concept. So speaking of which, tell me about a little history of the play itself, or I guess, is it a play or is it a musical? Aren't there musical numbers too?
Tanya Barfield is the playwright. She calls it a play with original songs. Okay. So she wrote the lyrics to the songs. Mostly the one actor plays Simon, Jesse, and Rex, and the other actor plays Lewis, and they tell a lot of stories. It's very much a storytelling play. So there are other characters that come in, but those are the main ones that the two actors actually portray. The play was written in 2006, or at least was first performed in 2006, and it ran off Broadway at Playwrights Horizons in 2006. It's also played in Seattle, Los Angeles. I personally think that, you know, it's a 16-year-old play. I think it's more relevant. I know people say that all the time. Well, it's more relevant today than ever, but I think it's more relevant today than it was when it first came out, because we've had...
Oh, hands down.
Yeah, we've had all the Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, all these things have really brought it to the forefront. So I think it resonates even more today than it did when it was written, and more than in 1995 when it's set.
Oh, I think 100% right. You said it was 2006. Yeah. So yeah. Elected our first Black president in 2008. So yeah, around that time that it came out, we were hopeful, optimistic, maybe even all a little naive of a post-racial America coming. And now that we've seen what's happened and the backslide and backlash and Black Lives Matter having to come out after Floyd and Trayvon Martin, et cetera, it almost makes this story, this play hit even harder. And so like you're saying, yeah, like sometimes the passage of time and events that happen in the world in that time allow a work to just take on brand new resonance. It's powerful. Yeah. Well, very cool. So hey, real quick before we run, I mean, you've been really generous with your time. I actually think we did a pretty deep dive into a bunch of the characters, but tell me a little more about Perisphere Theater itself. Remind people where it is. It's a Black Box Theater in Silver Spring.
Right. We don't own that building, but that's where we've performed our two plays since I've taken over the company. So we don't have a physical home, but as I said, so far we've been performing there. Different companies rent the Black Box for periods of time.
Is that the one that's right next to, it's like right on the same block as the AFI Silver? Is that that?
Yeah, across from the Fillmore next to AFI. Yeah.
Right, right.
But Perisphere, this is a perfect play for Perisphere. I mean, our mission since I took over, it wasn't like a complete revamping of the mission, but just sort of focusing it more. And we're focused on history and really the notion of history. Particularly who owns it, who gets to tell the story, who's been left out of the story, and maybe what viewpoints have have been left out, you know, when the history actually gets retold. So you can see that this one is really good for that. The last play we did, a play by R. Eric Thomas called Time Is on Our Side, which similarly looks back at an earlier time, but this time looking back on the gay rights movement in the 70s. The characters, the play is set in modern times and, you know, current times, but it has to do with one character whose grandmother turns out was a closeted lesbian. And even though the modern day woman, the granddaughter, is a lesbian herself, she struggles with, is this something that's that the world should know about? Or is, you know, is this something, whose story is it? And there's a lot of discussion over who owns that piece of history. So that's the kind of plays that we're looking for, just that really focus on history and the idea of who owns it and who's gotten to tell it so far.
Perfectly said, who's gotten to tell it. And hopefully that's changing who's getting to tell it. And just real quick, and forgive me if I missed it when I asked you about it, but how long has Perisphere Theater been around? When did you found it? I know you said it's not a physical location. You're visiting the Black Box Theater, but, you know, when did it start as like a nonprofit?
Right. I was not the founder of the company. A friend of mine, Heather Benjamin, founded it in, I believe, 2014. And they performed a few plays at what was the Capitol Fringe building in Northeast, along sort of in near the H Street corridor, not quite on it. So they did a few plays, and then Heather asked me a couple of years ago if I might be interested in taking over the role of artistic director. So it's a nonprofit. We have a board made up of, you know, mostly local people, and I am really the only staff member as the artistic and executive director. And then we just contract with artists for each play we do. So when I took over, we were all set to do the play I just mentioned, Time Is on Our Side, in 2020. We had to move that back a year because of COVID. And even moving it back a year, it just so happened that the Delta variant struck right when we were supposed to open. So our ticket sales were hurt by that. But things are looking a lot better for this show, even though, you know, we almost got hit by the Omicron variant, but it seems like apparently we're past the worst of that. So people are more willing to go out and feel safe.
Oh, I do not envy your position of having to try to stage live stuff with different variants and stuff. I can't imagine what you've been through it. So, I'm rooting for you all at Perisphere, and I mean, hopefully time will ultimately be on your side through all this.
Thank
but,
you.
But check out Blue Door, which is at Silver Spring Black Box Theater now through March 12th. So, Everyone go check it out. It's going to be powerful stuff, sounds like. So, hey, I appreciate you joining us. It sounds great, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, Jason. And the website to learn more and to get tickets is perispheretheater.com.
Perispheretheater.com. All right. Appreciate it.
Thanks very much.